about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. The weather is pretty nice out there right now. Some parts of our listening area got a brief shower this morning because it's going to be holding up my peanut thrashing today. So that's not happening today, but the wind's supposed to get up and dry out tomorrow, so we should be good. Anyway, it's currently at 70 degrees. Nathan Brewer dew points 52. The winds are out of the south at 13, gusting up to 18 miles an hour. Let's check out some local area temperatures. Right now, it looks like Putnam, Oklahoma, there north of Clinton, is the coolest spot in the state at a whopping 64 degrees. Eric, 72. Altus, 74. Hobart, 73. Fort Cobb, 68. Hinton and Weatherford at 67. And so, anyway, that's some of your Roger Mills County. Don't want to leave them out. Cheyenne, you're 67. And Arnett, you're at 69 degrees. So, we got all kinds of things to discuss today. As always, I'm streaming live on Facebook, on KECO's Facebook page, if you want to watch the show. I'm dressed in camouflage today. I got my favorite all-time hoodie on, Willow Ridge Ranch. Miss Kelly Ripto gave me this, and it's my favorite hoodie, and it brings me good luck. So tomorrow is opening day of muzzleloader season in Oklahoma for all you deer hunters, if you didn't know that. Be safe out there. We might have a surprise guest here shortly if he gets time to stop by. Lieutenant James, or one of the game wardens, they got some training going on here in Elk, so I asked him to stop by if he had time, but I don't know if he's going to have time. You know how that training goes. Be sure and wear your orange tomorrow. Even archery hunters, you need to be wearing a vest or a cap, some kind of orange on there. Any kind of hunters out there besides muzzleloader, deer hunter, you need to have orange on in the field because, you know, there's lots of smoke holes out there. Muzzleloaders shoot out there quite a ways. Also, I got my email yesterday from Beckham County and Greer County FSA. You need to report your acreage. The acreage you planted, that's one of the things they're working on. Get that reported. But I got a little, you guys, if you remember last week, I reported a story on that Secretary of Agriculture, Valsack, said last week because of requirements from President Biden on anybody under his command will take the COVID shot. And it's going to be required. Well, the United States Department of Agriculture is under his command, as I call it. I was in the military, so that's what I go by. But I reported a story where he said, even with some of the workers not taking the shot or taking early retirement because of it and everything, that it won't be affect the USDA's departments. Well, week into this, after this story, I'm not saying he's full of it, but I'm not believing it all. But this story come out of Kansas. COVID-19 vaccine mandates might soon wreak havoc in Kansas and across the nation, along with requiring all USDA and Farm Service Agency personnel to obtain vaccinations. The U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, is requiring elected officials who work on FSA committees to be vaccinated as well. Senior Director of the Kansas Farm Bureau, Ryan Flickner, said representatives in his agency, along with their constituents, are concerned with services and deliverables from the USDA. We're hearing all kinds sorts of numbers of resignations and retirements. A lot of folks are full-time employees, are eligible for retirement, and are choosing, as I understand it, to take early retirement, he said. If we don't have a full-time employee in place, and certainly if we lose a lot of the volunteer county committee level people, we have some real fear of whether or not the USDA can actually service and deploy the programs that the Farm Bill and other federal legislative pieces require them to do. Kansas farmers, on September 22nd, the USDA announced that all federal employees must receive the final doses of any of these three vaccines being administered in the United States by November 8th. Not one, but all of them. As the Secretary of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, in light of the public health guidance regarding the most effective and necessary defenses against COVID-19, I have determined that to promote the health and safety of our workforce and their families and children, it is necessary to require COVID-19 vaccinations for federal general schedule GS employees, non-federal county office CO employees in the Farm Service Agency, FSA, and elected or appointed FSA and state committee members, Valsec wrote in a memo. Heather Bush, who farms in Gray County, was elected to the FSA County Committee last fall, and that she said she was elected to serve her members and she wants to protect their rights as well as hers. Each county in Kansas has from 2 to 3 county committee members. These people are elected to serve for 3 years. Committee members help decide and administrate FSA agriculture programs that serve the needs of local farmers and ranchers. I am fighting for the choice of myself as an elected official for the county. I'm fighting for the choice of the employees of the Farm Service Agency, and I'm also fighting for the producers because we don't know how far the Biden administration will push mandates. So I'm fighting for the choice. I personally don't feel there's been enough research done for me to feel comfortable taking the vaccine. Bush said she does not want to be the gatekeeper either. They, the producers she's talking about, shouldn't have to report to me or to the government that they got or didn't get a shot. It's none of my business. She also says she gets paid 2 hours a month by the FSA, but like other county committee official, she ends up putting in more hours. Flickner said that if dozens of people like Bush, as well as meat inspectors, veterinarians, and the countless workers who run the USDA are no longer there, farmers and ranchers, that's us guys out there, listen up, farmers and ranchers will be stuck without employees to answer questions, inspect their goods, or certify their fall acreage by December 15th. How does the USDA expect to do that when we are hearing considerably high numbers may choose to retire or resign? And the ones that don't, and they don't resign, they're going to get fired. That's what's going to happen. If there are not employees there to take certification and take paperwork and work through the documents that are required, what recourse do producers have to make sure that they uphold their end of the bargain? According to the USDA website, the USDA is made up of 29 agencies and offices with nearly 100,000 employees who serve the American people at more than 4,500 locations across the country and abroad. By eliminating positions across all sectors of the agency, this action would affect farmers and ranchers everywhere, and Flickner said he is concerned about the rural parts of Kansas and other rural areas of the United States. The biggest concern right now is if they don't have the manpower to administer programs, our farmers and ranchers are going to be significantly impacted. True statement right there, because you know, you've guys seen what's happened at they've got all kinds of different departments. They've got meat inspectors. You know, I can go on with the list for 100 times, but you know, I noticed at my local FSA office, you know, they've changed their ways. They had weeks that only one person was in there, maybe two persons was in there. It's by appointment only. You go in there and you feel like you're in Fort Knox because, you know, the USDA requires people to, you know, requires them to protect themselves from other people against the COVID and et cetera, et cetera. And it's just not the, you know, it's not the same. It was enjoyable. It still is, don't get me wrong, but it was enjoyable to go down there and sit down with the person doing your paperwork. And those days look like they're gone. But in Oklahoma, we got, did a little investigation with a little help today. So in Oklahoma FSA alone could possibly lose 60 or 70 employees. And it's crazy because nationwide, nobody in the big media is telling the truth or has the truth to tell. Nationwide, only 41% of the FSA employees have answered the required survey that they are fully vaccinated. So what's that tell everybody? And you know how important the I'm small time. I got 30, 40 cows and got 100 acres of farm ground. And those people at the FSA are super important to me because they keep me straight. And I feel for them. I feel for them how they've had to work the last 2 years. It's not like, just don't feel like you're at a normal workplace with all the windows and the mask and the whole nine yards. And I know we're all going through a pandemic and everybody has their story, no matter what kind of industry you're in. But this is an ag show and I'm going to bat for my FSA people. And I hate it that you're being mandated to do this, take the vaccination. Or if you're not going to take the vaccination, then you're either going to resign or take the early retirement, as the story reads from Kansas. But, you know, as farmers and ranchers out there and anybody that's in the ag industry, please do me a favor. Contact your local representative. Ours in most of this listening area is Frank Lucas. And I'm sorry, I don't know who it is out there and our listeners for the eastern part of Texas Panhandle. But hammer them. Send them an email. Call them. Time's not on our side. November 8th's not that far away. And I always said I wasn't going to get political on this show, and I'm going to read it and let you guys be the judge, but this is different. And please just go to bat for these people. We got, not everybody's happy with the way they get their stuff handled at any place. It doesn't have to be the FSA. It could be at the insurance place. It could be at the dealership. But these people are super important for us because I know a lot of people get subsidy checks and insurance payments and stuff like this. And if your workforce is half what it is, instead of getting that check that you need it November 1st to make some payments on something, your livestock protection check or whatever, you might not get it till next March, April, May. You might not even get it at all, and in a time frame. So go to bat for our FSA people, our NRCS people. Go to bat for them. Call your local U.S. representative and get on their ass. So let them have it. So get on them, and when I get back, we're going to talk some grain reports. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at lmaauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
We had commercial cattle, and as a commercial producer, you're always looking for a place to buy bulls that are going to work well for your program. And as we struggled to do that, we decided to raise our own. And so we started producing the traits that we were looking for to buy in bulls. Lori White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
We learned in grade school 1 plus 1 equals 2 and 2 plus 2 equals 4. So what does quality feed equal? Results you can be proud of. It's simple math with a little common sense. Barnes Feed Service in Hobart, Oklahoma has done the math and mixed years of common sense into their feeds so you'll get the results you deserve. And remember, their name ends with service, something they take pride in every day. See their ads in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook.
Every trust is a little bit different. Some of them, those assets may need to grow because they've got to take care of somebody for a lot of years. Sometimes those assets need to maintain or they need to just support a certain lifestyle. There's lots of different objectives for trusts, and what we do is we determine what the objective is for each trust, and then we do our very best to manage the assets in that trust to achieve that objective. I'm Nan Shiblum, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust in Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Welcome back, and see if the temperatures change. 71 degrees currently, wind south out of 11 miles an hour, gusting up to 14 miles an hour, and I will have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast here coming up in the last part of the show. And I apologize for a while ago before break. This deal fires me up, and there's so much more to it that my show's not long enough to discuss it, and you probably don't want to hear me griping and whining about it. But, you know, I'm not against the vaccine or, you know, one way that I'll tell you right here on the air, I don't have the vaccine, but I've had COVID and I got some good antibodies working right now. And so I'm not against the vaccine, but it's a person's choice in the land of the free to take the vaccine or not take the vaccine. It's a person's choice. I don't care what anybody in the government or anybody else says. Make me wear a mask when I go in somewhere, that's great. But if I got to go in there to a restaurant to eat and they want proof of my vaccine, guess what? I'm going to go somewhere. I don't have to, but I'm going to go to my freezer and get out a big old slab of beef and I'm going to cook it on the grill and they can kiss mine. But, you know, it's funny. I read a story the other day about the African swine fever. It's a devastating fever that's in hogs, in swine. And, you know, down in Dominican Republic and Haiti, they've had to destroy the crop, their swine herd because of the deal. Well, somebody has come out a couple of weeks ago, come out with a deal that they have a vaccine that will work against the South African swine fever. And guess what? It works. But they want two more years to study it. That don't seem like what happened with the COVID shot, and I'm not judging it. And I guess I am judging it, but it's just like 3 months, we were good for this vaccine. So you can't blame people for not wanting to take it. And if you take it, that's fine. That's your choice. But there's too much crap going on in our world today. Control of the supply market, you know, the rich get richer at Wall Street. Even during the COVID, they got rich. And it just tells you that there's a lot more going on in our world than you realize. And I'm not smart enough to figure it all out, but we'll be all right. But anyway, the cash grain prices for Oklahoma as of 1 hour ago, hard red winter wheat is at $7.29. It's up, baby. It was $7.11 yesterday, so something happened overnight. Corn was $5.32, soybeans $11.61, Milo is at $5.35. So all of our grains come up overnight. Grains and soybeans were higher in overnight trading on signs of demand for the U.S. supplies. Exporters yesterday said Mexico purchased 130,000 metric tons of U.S. corn for delivery in 2021 and 22 marketing year that started on September 1st of this year, according to the USDA. This was the first major sale to overseas buyer this year after several purchases were made last week. Government data showed weekly export sales were robust, with corn and soybean sales both jumping from the previous week, the USDA said in a report yesterday. On the weather front, dry weather is expected to persist in western and southern parts of the southern plains, where hard red winter wheat was recently or is about to be planted. Northeastern areas of the southern plains may see some rain that may improve soil moisture, but most of the region will remain dry. At the start of the week, 70% of the U.S. winter crop was planted, ahead of the 60% that was in the ground a week earlier, but just behind the prior five-year average of 71%. The International Grains Council said Thursday it now expects global corn production of 1.21 billion metric tons, a narrow increase from the previous outlook. Carryout is seen at 600 million metric tons, up from 599 million in last month's report. Wheat production is pegged at 781 million metric tons, unchanged from the previous month's forecast, while stockpiles were forecast at 276 million metric tons, down from the September forecast of 277 million tons difference. Soybean output was unchanged at 380 million metric tons. Inventories were seen at 60 million metric tons, up from 57 million last month. Corn futures for December delivery rose 5 cents to $5.37 and a quarter a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Wheat futures for December delivery added 9.5 cents to 7.50¾ a bushel, while Kansas City futures gained 14¼ cents to $7.62 a bushel. Soybean futures for November delivery rose 4¼ to $12.37 a bushel. Soy meal increased 2.70 to $3.26.70 a ton, while soy oil added 11 cents to $62.69 a pound. Export sales of corn and beans jump week to week, while wheat sales decline, according to the USDA. Corn sales to overseas buyers in the next 7 days that ended on October 14th were reported at 1.27 million metric tons, up from 22% from the previous week and 67% from the prior four-week average. Unknown countries bought 456,700 metric tons. Mexico purchased 377,100 tons. Japan, too, bought 230,100 tons. Colombia was in for 111,500 tons. And some other people bought 76,000 tons of U.S. corn. Exports for the week were reported at 1.04 million metric tons, a 14% increase from last week. Soybean sales, 2.88 million metric tons, up from 1.15 million tons a week earlier and unnoticeably from the previous change, the average, according to the USDA. I wonder if all these people retire or have to resign. I wonder who's going to give me these reports. I got to figure that out. I just thought of that. I got that on my mind. I'm irked today. Sorry. China was the big buyer at 1.88 million metric tons, followed by unnamed buyers at 568,800 tons. And the Netherlands bought 127,300 tons. Egypt bought 97,300 tons. And Bangladesh purchased 57,800 tons of U.S. soybeans. Exports last week came to 2.21 million metric tons, a 29% increase from the previous week. And I'm pretty sure some of this increase has been because the ports are getting back up there from Hurricane Ida. Wheat sales, my favorite one, meanwhile fell 36% week to week, 460,400 metric tons. That's also down from the prior four-week average of 6%. Nigeria took 98,000 tons. Japan did 92,100 tons. Colombia was in for 76,100 tons. Thailand bought 52,200 tons. And then Venezuela come in at a low whopping 33,000 metric tons. The total would have been higher, but an unnamed destination canceled cargoes totaling 36,100 tons. Exports of the U.S. wheat last week was reported at 160,200 metric tons, down 65% from the previous week. Well, anyway, when I get back, we're going to talk some cattle. Don't forget, or please remember, my wife, I know she's listening. She hates the word forget. Remember, Elk City Livestock Auction is happening right now. So get on out there because they serve a mean lunch. And go out there and buy you some cattle to put out on your wheat you're going. Because our wheat pasture and rye pasture and true to cow pasture and most areas is looking phenomenal. I'm so happy everybody got it up. Hope they're not having any bug problems. I've heard of some issues with grasshoppers along outside edges, but no army worm contamination yet. If you have had any army worms, text me on my famous KECO Ag text line. I want to hear about anything you've been having trouble with because everything looks good, and I hope you're not having any much trouble, but if you had some trouble, let me know. Anyway, I had a couple of texts in here. Let me read these real quick before I go to brother. You tell it, Jimmy. Amen, brother. Thank you. And then we got, what's this? And why is everything with COVID a mandate? There should be some, there should be some woman dates. Yeah, you're right. You know, there's a man and there's a woman. So there should be a mandate and a woman date. So you're right. It's pretty funny. You made my day there. Thank you. Well, I'll be right back with some stories on cattle and stuff when I come back. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of a curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, October 15th. 2,626 head were sold, 16 head of steers at 372, brought 202, 12 at 520, brought 164, 20 at 594, brought 153.50, 6 at 656, brought 145, 8 at 676, brought 137, 27 at 750, brought 137, 14 head of heifers at 349, brought 149, 30 at 5 508 brought 132.50, 9 at 607 brought 132, 17 at 648 brought 124, 3 at 708 brought 127, 6 at 733 brought 131. Butcher cows were 2 to 65, bred cows 450 to 1225, butcher bulls 23 to 87, pairs brought 760 to 1400. Elk City Livestock Auction, South Highway 6 in Elk City, Oklahoma, sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I'm back. I am wound up. Sorry, I am wound up. It's 73 degrees. Wind out of south at 10 miles an hour, gusting up to 17 miles an hour. In our next segment, I will give you the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Funny story to tell you. So, my landlord, some of you know who he is, but he doesn't like me mentioning his name live on the air, so I'm just going to call him Landlord. called me the day before yesterday, and he had a calf that got into about a 500 to 600 pound heifer, got into a porcupine. I've never had a cow or anything, bull or anything, into the porcupine deal, but I knew he was coming yesterday. So after the show, I was going towards Atwood's to get some dog food, and I looked over there and I seen him pulling into Dr. Taylor Mouse's little operation of Stockman's Vet down there on South Main and Elk. So I whooped around, come back to check out this heifer that had been porcupined. And so I wanted to see what this looked like. So after a little investigation and looking at the heifer, it looks like she went and sniffed the porcupine. The porcupine got her and pissed her off. So she, in turn, butted it because there was porcupines all the way up between her ears. And then she had them on her back legs and front legs, and they were on the back of the legs. It looks like she went into a rodeo spin of trying to put some hurt on this porcupine by kicking and stomping. I'd never seen anything like it, but she had more porcupines than a lot of bird dogs get when they get out there. But anyway, it was, you had to see the calf. It was pretty, it wasn't funny. I felt for her, but it was different. How's that? To promote improved heifer development, increase marketing opportunities for Red Angus females, create reliable sources of high-quality replacement heifers for cattle producers, the Red Angus Association of America recently launched the Red Choice Program. The program embraces proven reproductive and genetic management practices, which in turn lead to high-quality, long-lasting females that are ready to hit the ground running in commercial herds. And I'm just, it's just about... They're doing a great job, and I've noticed over the last, I don't know, 5 years or maybe longer, I don't know, there's Red Angus herds popping up everywhere around our listening area. And when I was working in North Dakota, I promise you, I've seen some of the most beautiful herds of Red Angus up there in Nebraska and South Dakota that I ever laid eyes on. I mean, they're just gorgeous to watch. And I've always wondered, you know, what's the difference between the Black Angus and the Red Angus besides the color, the obvious? You know, I've asked some people and I've got different answers. The one that stood out to me was that there was two that stood out to me. One, seems like the Red Angus cow puts out a little more milk than the Black Angus, and I'm not sure about that. That was just some of the statements was made to me. But the number one one is in our hot summers around here, a Red Angus cow is going to be just a little bit cooler than the black-eyed Black Angus. So that was just something to put on there. But based on the Show Me Select Replacement Heifer Replacement Program from the University of Missouri, the Red Choice Program comes with several requirements to increase the overall quality of in-row females, such as minimum vaccination requirements, pre-breeding exams, utilization of reproductive technologies, parasite control, feet and leg scoring. The program culminates with sale eligibility, wherein cattle producers can purchase premium Red Choice females for their herd with the confidence that those females have been managed and raised in the highest quality standards possible. The primary goal for the better managed heifers is in their retention in the herd, is in their original, but where their extra value will be measurable over time. The Red Angus female has long been viewed as the industrial's most favorite, said Harold Burtz, the RAAA commercial marketing director. The Red Choice program strengthens that claim and elevates Red Angus female values even higher. The success of the Show Me Select program in Missouri and its effect on the cattle business in that state has been monumental. We feel that making the program available to Red Angus and Red Angus influenced cattle will have similar results. Adding documented best management practice breeding protocol and sire selection criteria to the highest popular Red Angus breed bred heifer creates an opportunity for increased rancher profit in every environment. And basically what they're doing is great. They're wonderful people here. The value of the best management practice is inherent. The program officially launches this fall. Enrollment deadlines are February 1st for the spring breeding and September 1st for the fall breeding season. A full description of this program and its requirements is available at redangus.org. For questions about the Red Choice program or other Red Angus marketing incentives, contact Nolan Woodruff, commercial marketing specialist at nolan@redangus.org. The Red Angus Association of America serves the beef industry by enhancing and promoting the measurable advantages of Red Angus and Red Angus influenced cattle. So, got any questions? www.redangus.org. So, anyway, I love Red Angus. And speaking of Red Angus, let me bring this up here real quick. We got local homegrown. I seen this on social media about 6 minutes before the show started. I wanted to let you know about it. Walter Cattle Company. Kyle. There's a family in Florida, the Russell family. They had Champion Simmental female and Champion Red Angus bull at the Northeast Florida Fair. Folks from coast to coast are finding success with the Walter prefix, and he's doing good. He had another earlier I mentioned week before last. So he had a Red Angus bull, and one of my sponsors, B&L Red Angus out of Putnam, they got Red Angus. So we got Red Angus. You know, my favorite thing, and I know you guys heard me say this before, my favorite thing is to go to a restaurant, and if it says certified Angus meat on the menu, my favorite thing is to ask them, is that Red Angus or Black Angus? And you get the deer in the headlight look when you ask that. But anyway, I'm kind of a jokester, so it's just me. But congratulations to the Russell family, and congratulations, Kyle Walters, from the Walter Cattle Company on Champion Red Angus bull and Champion Simmental female down in Florida. That's awesome. Anyways, remember, Monday is a Western Oklahoma livestock auction at Clinton. They're east of Clinton on I-40 next to the Cherokee truck stop, trading post, whatever you want to call it. Get off right there, take a left back on the north 066 there, and right there. That is one nice facility over there called Mr. Brandon Hickey, and he'll hook you up with buying or selling needs, whatever you need over there. They have lots of buyers over there at the Clinton Livestock Auction. So we'll get back to that. And then one more thing before I go to my last break for the show. Supply chain problems dominate the news and pose some challenges to the pork sector also. When I order groceries and dry goods from one of my local big box grocers for home delivery, I usually get between 70 to 85% of my order fulfilled. That would be a deal breaker in non-COVID-19 times. Newly mandated COVID-19 vaccination passports, two generous unemployment payments, and cash giveaways are keeping people from returning to work. You can drive anywhere in Elk City, Hobart, Clinton, Altus, Blair, Mangum, Sayre, Eric, you can drive anywhere, and there's help wanted signs everywhere. And where do people go? It's a bad deal we're going through right now. And I've talked to some oil field companies around here. They can't get enough help. They put ads out. They put it over the internet. I seen some last night from one of the local companies here needing 4 or 5 people. And it's just, it's a tough world we're living in right now. The battle over forced vaccinations and other generalized disruptions are creating shortages around the world most of us thought were behind us in the modern age. Panic buying. After all, inventory management has been the key driver in most of the modern and cost reductions captured in the foods and goods market over the past 30 years. And all those magnificent accomplishments are only as strong as the underlying workforce and its dependability. Some of the problems are almost outrageous in many people's minds, such as literally not being able to buy gasoline or diesels for their cars in the UK for days on, and there wasn't even a shortage of fuel. There's a critical shortage of distribution truck drivers to haul to local stations. We are being told many kids will be crying on Christmas morning when stockouts throughout the toy departments become more critical as people rush to stock up and avoid the disappointments. This is one of the problems with the supply chain failures. They produce panic buying, which accelerates shortages for weeks. We know pork in cold storage. We know there's pork in cold storage. It's well below and not quickly being restored as of mid-October because they can't get them back to storage. This means Christmas hams could be in very short supply. And as you know, I reported yesterday, turkey supplies are down. So hams are going to be down. That means only one thing. Call your local cattle buyer or cattleman, buy a beef, get it processed, and have some of Bandy Silk's famous brisket for lunch, for Christmas dinner and Thanksgiving. That's all you got to do. Problem resolved right there, pretty easy. But also from failures in distribution networks are related to employee shortages. I'm wondering where all these dock people came from that they're running 24/7 out on the West Coast now. And one guy texted in yesterday while I was talking about President Biden going to 24/7 on the docks out there to get all these ships unloaded and get stuff moving. I had a guy text in yesterday, and you guys have probably seen this on social media. He said, send them to the Gulf Coast. We'll unload them. We don't need that crap from California anyway. Just blah, blah, blah. He went on and went on. But the workforce. I spoke with a major supplier processor of bacon and ham last week, and they were nearly in a state of despair regarding availability of the quantity and quality of raw product they need for processing. And that's what's been going on with our beef packers also. Yes, they've been getting astronomical money selling it out of there, but you know, on the back end of that, it's the retail bidding in on that beef from the packer. So but they're running on probably a third or half their employees they were before COVID-19. They have upped their starting salaries by 50% and still are 25% plus short on a full workforce. The higher the number normal salaries raises costs and brings in people who need to be trained, delaying fully competent and efficient execution of the plant. Unfortunately, many of them attracted initially to the high sound and hourly rate, decided this isn't for them, and leave sometime soon after training, focusing on the whole process to start all over. And then we have fuel failure. It's just a big game. The quote that I really liked on the story is, a long time ago, President Ronald Reagan fired a good portion of the federal air traffic controllers for illegal slowdowns and work stoppages. That seemed like a gutsy move at the time, but today there are substantial percentages, 30 to 60% of airline pilots, military personnel, hospital and clinic nurses and doctors, teachers, police, firefighters, truck drivers, utility workers, and federal government workers, including the USDA, who are refusing vaccination, and then this therefore has become a subject for termination. The firings have begun and will continue through Thanksgiving. It is estimated in the military that 80 to 90% of special forces personnel are refusing vaccination and are subject to discharge. Politicians at the federal and in some states are playing a giant Jenga game with the integrated supply chains and national defense of this nation. You pull out the wrong piece and the whole system's going to collapse. So when I get back, we're going to go with the Long Ranger forecast from sponsored by Hobart Farm and Garden down there at Hobart, Oklahoma, in Kiowa County. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, October 19th. We sold 995 cows, bulls, and kids. Thursday, October 21st, we sold 3,740 kids and feeders for a total of 4,735 cows for the week. Killing cows, 1 to 3 higher, bulls steady to 4 higher, very unusual for October. Tuesday, better killing cows, 70 to 75, 50, with their thin cows bringing 42.5 to 65, bulls bring 66.5 to 93. 2 to 8-year-old bred cows, 850 to 1275, with their 9 and older bred cows, 835 to 1050. 2 to 4-year-old pairs, 1375. Steer cattle, 250 to 325 steers, 211 to 232, 4 to 450, 155 to 171. 5 to 550, 151 to 168, 6 to 650, 142.5 to 167, 7 to 750, 155 to 158, 8 to 850, 130 to 156, 9 to 950, 130 to 150, 1,050-pound steers, 142 to 145, 8 steers weighing 1,100 pounds, bring 133. Hunter heifers, 350 to 4-weight heifers, 141 to 160, 4 to 450, 147 to 153, 5 to 550, 136 to 150, 6 to 650, 130 up to 145, with their 7 to 750 heifers, 147 to 152, 8 to 850 heifers, 146, and our 9 to 10 25 weight heifers, 114 to 121. Very good market. Hunter kids selling 600 pound steers up to 167, 900 pound steers up to 150, and 1,025 pound steers up to 145. For this Tuesday, October 26th, we will have 30 black bred cows, 3 to 7 years old. We got 40 other bred cows. It's a sellout deal. Blacks and reds, 3 to 8 years old. More by sell time. Remember, we work 100% for the seller, never lying to the buyer. We run a very speedy auction, good for buyers and sellers alike. We sold 3,740 calves and feeders, finished the sale at 3:30 p.m., and that's with several smaller deals mixed in. Give us a call. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Hi, I'm James with Western Equipment. Listen up, any high school junior and senior, and any parent or grandparent of any high school junior or senior. By your junior and senior year, it's time to start planning for a job. Right now, if you don't know what you want to do, check out the John Deere AgTech program through Western Equipment. It's a 2-year program, and afterwards, we guarantee you a solid job at one of our 21 locations in Texas, Oklahoma, or New Mexico. Now is the time. Visit west-equip.com/careers for more information to apply.
It's so convenient for farmers and ranchers to get what you need in one place. The Wheeler General Store is the do-it-best hardware store that carries vet supplies to doctor your animals, high-pro feed, also master hand milling and smart lick tubs. Delivery is available if you need it. And at Wheeler Ag, right there on site, they've got dry fertilizer application with blending capabilities. Wheeler General Store and Wheeler Ag on Highway 152, a mile east of the four-way stop in Wheeler, Texas.
You can also find the Wheeler General Store on Facebook and Instagram.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I'm going to pull a Drew. You guys, he doesn't do Facebook Live for a reason. Drew Cobb, he gets into his radio host personality. His personality's awesome. I'm feeling sorry for him. I mean, he is hurting, and I've been there. I've had this almost the same identical back issue that he had, and I'm feeling for him, and hopefully we can get him fixed up, and he's a brave man for coming in here and doing a show from the studio. Our Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast is presently 73 degrees. Winds out of the south at 10 miles an hour, gusting up to 14 miles an hour. It's supposed to be 80 today with winds 15 to 16 miles an hour and partly cloudy. Tomorrow, 85 with winds out of the south 10 to 20 with a 20% chance of rain and a 20% chance of rain tomorrow night. And it's going to stay windy, it looks like, all the way through Sunday night, the whole weekend. So it should be nice. Sunday's 84, Monday 81 with winds out of the northeast. And Tuesday looks like the wind's turning back around out of the south, southwest, and we're going to warm up. And I seen a slight chance of rain, 30% chance of rain next Tuesday or Wednesday on our very, very long ranger, but it's still a long ways out. And so anyway, enjoy the weekend. We're going to see if we can get some peanuts thrashed and get some peanut hay baled up. And hopefully I get my high gear baled up. There's a special stocker sale this coming Wednesday, October 27th at 9:30 a.m. in conjunction with their regular weekly Wednesday sale, and that'll be at Hobart Stockyards. You got any questions or you want to consign anybody? All these stocker calves will be winged, worked, and ready for your wheat pasture. And looking at our wheat pasture, as I said earlier in the show, some of it is ready to go. If you got any questions on the special stocker sale, give Mr. Rex Fleming a ring down there at the Hobart Stockyards. And his number is in the Penny News, or you can get on Facebook, or I'll give you his number right now. 331-8547. There's five things in this deal that you didn't know about co-ops. It was a really cool one. For the last 31 years, the National Cooperative Bank, the NCB, has published the annual Co-op 100 list, a ranking of the largest co-ops in the United States. Agriculture co-ops owned by customer members to give them more clout in both buying and selling products dominate the list. Here are the five takeaways from the new top co-op ranking based on 2020 revenues. Number one, agriculture's dominance. About half of the 100 largest co-ops in the United States are directly in agriculture, buying, processing, marketing crops and livestock, and providing inputs. CHN, Synex Harvest States, has been on the top perch for many years and is still there this year with $28.4 billion in revenue. The revenue is down from the previous year due to the lower commodity prices in 2020, but still nearly twice as big as their closest co-op competitor. At the other end of the list, the National Grape Cooperative is at 97, and it had $596 million in revenue. Well, I know where at least $6 million of that come from. My wife, she buys grapes. I'm pretty sure that's got to be the same kind of cooperative. But anyway, it is a co-op of over 1,000 grape growers who grow for Welch Foods. Nope, that's not her. She buys organics. I had to read the story more. But in between any other common co-op names familiar to farmers, Growmark, MFA, Southern State Co-op, and Farmers Co-op, there's 63 of those. Regional co-ops like Plains Cotton Co-op in Texas and New Cooperative in Iowa make the list too. The farm co-op dominance has pretty well been very steady over the history of the report, says Barry Silver, a former NCB executive who has been the point person behind this list in its inception. The big three of the ag co-ops. Here we go. CHS has been the biggest co-op in the country since the 1998 merger of Synex and Harvest States. And headquartered in Minnesota, it buys grain from farmers, processes it, and sells it domestic and world markets. It also sells inputs to thousands of farmers and through local outlets. CHS is nearly twice as big revenue-wise as number two and number three on the list, Dairy Farmers of America and Land O'Lakes, DFA, based in Kansas City, is a co-op of 12,500 family dairy farm owners that buy milk, process it, and sell it under such household brand names as Borden, Kemp's, and Meadow Gold. Land O'Lakes is the 100-year-old cooperative based in St. Paul, Minnesota, that is big in dairy products sold under its own brand because their butter is my favorite. It also sells many farm supplies and livestock feeds to farmers since 2001, has owned the Purina animal food. I didn't know that. So they own Purina too. In 2016, it joined United Suppliers to form a business unit called Winfield United to serve local agriculture retailers with seeds, chemicals, and farm services. So if it's not directly ag, it's probably still rural or food, because our North Fork Electric Rural Co-op, it's a co-op. So it's owned by people. Everything's owned by people. You got to be a member, the whole nine yards. But anyway, you guys have a great day, and remember, please, call your United States representative, no matter what area, what district you're listening to or hear from them, and give them heck about this mandate crap with the COVID deal. You guys have a wonderful weekend, and God bless. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Hello. Here's a station you might like.
This is KECO, Elk City.